Tess Vigeland here from the Wall Street Journal's As We Work podcast. This season, we'll take you from that first job all the way to retirement and all the career moments along the way. Listen wherever you get your podcasts.
This is your tech news briefing for Thursday, June 23rd. I'm Zoe Thomas for the Wall Street Journal. For years, politicians have promised to improve internet speeds for Americans living in rural parts of the country. But despite billions of dollars set aside to fix this digital divide, many communities still have internet so slow, it's hard to make video calls, stream movies, or participate in the modern U.S. economy. On today's show, our reporter Ryan Tracy joins us to discuss what stands in the way of closing this gap. That's after these headlines. Netflix is working on an ad-supported tier of its video streaming service, and NBC Universal and Google have emerged as top contenders to help create it. According to people familiar with the matter, Netflix is talking to NBC Universal and Google about using their ad-serving technology, and both companies are likely pursuing exclusive deals. Roku has also had early talks with Netflix about ad partnerships, sources say. A Netflix representative said the talks were still in early days. Our reporter Sarah Krause says there are benefits for all sides in reaching a deal.
So for Comcast, NBC Universal, and Alphabet's Google, the opportunity to work with Netflix on its first ever ad-supported tier is a pretty big gig to land. It's not only the sort of high-profile nature of that arrangement and potentially, you know, this premium inventory that's being created that they could help sell across, but there's also the potential for a revenue share in this arrangement. Some of the aspects of these arrangements that have been discussed are exclusivity agreements and or revenue share. So the economics of this project would be shared between both partners.
Netflix has been looking for ways to boost revenue amid growing competition. Streaming right along, Canada has advanced a law that targets what video and audio sharing platforms can broadcast to a Canadian audience. The law would require platforms like Netflix, YouTube, and TikTok to display a certain quota of Canadian-made content when users log in from a Canadian IP address. Many big streamers, including the three I just mentioned, have either opposed the move or warned of unintended consequences. The legislation will now move to the Canadian Senate for a vote, where it's expected to pass. And Shopify merchants can now sell goods using Twitter. Merchants will be able to display up to 50 items for sale on their Twitter profile, the company said Wednesday. After clicking on an item, users will be directed to the merchant's website to complete the purchase. But the setup doesn't go as far as other platforms like Instagram, which allows shoppers to complete purchases without leaving their apps. The partnership signals an effort by both companies to boost their social media commerce offerings as shopping becomes a key driver of engagement and revenue for social media platforms. All right, coming up, no movie streaming, no video calls. Millions of Americans don't have access to high-speed internet. We'll discuss the ways the government has tried to solve the problem and the issues that still remain. That's after the break.
In growing companies, there are two kinds of CFOs: the ones overwhelmed with manual processes, errors, and lack of control of the numbers, and the one who uses NetSuite by Oracle, the number one cloud financial system. With visibility and control of financials, inventory, HR, planning, and budgeting, NetSuite is everything you need to grow all in one place. The CFOs that get it, get it. The CFOs that don't, don't. Head to netsuite.com/wallstreet for a special one-of-a-kind financing offer. netsuite.com/wallstreet.
In 2020, the federal government set aside $9.2 billion to expand high-speed internet to rural areas. It wasn't the first time the government made a push to boost internet speeds in these communities. And 2 years later, many of these places are still waiting on broadband. So how is it that over and over again the promises of high-speed internet fail to be delivered? And what is it like to try and be a part of the modern U.S. economy with such slow upload and download speeds? Joining us to discuss this is our reporter, Ryan Tracy. Hi, Ryan. Thanks for joining me.
Thanks for having me.
So can you start us off by painting a picture of this situation? I mean, how many people across the U.S. are impacted by slow internet, and how slow are we talking?
Well, we don't have great government data on this, but generally speaking, most Americans have download speeds of 100 megabits per second, upload speeds of 10 megabits per second. A lot of them have even faster speeds than that, especially in urban areas, the speeds are a lot better. But there are, you know, a sizable percentage of Americans, a much smaller share than, you know, a majority, but a sizable percentage of Americans who can't, not only can't get that speed, but also can't get just sort of very basic services like Netflix or Zoom to work because their speeds are slow enough that that doesn't really happen. So we're talking, you know, 4 megabits per second download or less for those folks. And a lot of those areas are obviously rural areas.
You spoke with some of the people in these places. I want to play part of a phone interview that you had with one man, John Powell. But before we do that, can you first just tell us a little bit about who John is and his experience?
We were looking for census blocks that appeared more than once in these federal programs, which would suggest that the government had tried to improve internet in these areas multiple times. And John Powell's census block was one of the ones that appeared 3 times in the data. So we wanted to call people who lived in that area and ask, how's your internet, given that the government's sent money to that spot 3 times.
Okay, so let's hear what John had to say about his situation.
Tell me about how your internet service is.
Right. So it's incredibly slow. I wouldn't say it's spotty, but it is just, in general, very reliably slow.
And how does that affect you in your life, you know, living where you do, trying to, you know, get a job, that sort of thing? How does it affect you to have this kind of service?
Well, now, at my age, and definitely when I'm in between jobs, it's impossible. There's no hope of working from home. Other things, a lot of people, especially when I was younger, that was a way to socialize, was to be online. And that was just a complete non-starter. And now it's just like living in the past.
So how did John's community end up in this situation? And in what ways are they trying to get high-speed internet to these rural locations?
Sure. So they tried multiple ways. The first round of funding in this area, which was around 2012 and shortly thereafter, the money went to Windstream, which was, you know, basically the local phone company. And they used the money to extend a fiber cable down a highway outside this town called Huebner, Oklahoma. And the problem for the residents who lived on the street that John Powell lives on is that that fiber cable didn't run directly in front of their homes. Instead of turning off the highway and coming up their street, it stopped right on the highway and connected to a networking device called a DSLAM, which gave them DSL internet on their road via their copper phone line. And copper phone lines are just far slower than fiber when it comes to internet. Had that fiber cable been extended up the street, it would have been a totally different story, and he wouldn't be complaining about his internet today. But that's not what happened, and you hear stories about this all over the country where people are saying, I live right next to this place, and I know the internet line's on that pole, but it just won't come to my house, you know? And that leads us to sort of the second reason why these programs can go wrong, which is in some cases, these companies weren't obligated to serve everyone universally and equally. And some of the newer programs that the government is working on actually do have that obligation. So maybe things will turn out better this time.
We should note that Windstream said moving the fiber line closer to residents improved speeds available in the area, and the company was complying with federal rules at the time. But that's round 1 and 2. What happened with this third round of funding?
Well, the third reason for John Powell was the fact that a company received the money and then didn't follow through on its promise. And so it really did matter in his case which provider was picked and whether that provider was able to follow through. And by the way, going back to the second sort of issue around universal service, the way that lack of a universal service requirement played out for John Powell was that Windstream built a wireless tower near his house that served a lot of his neighbors with wireless internet through a radio antenna, basically. But the signal of that tower doesn't reach his home because of terrain and trees that are in the way. And so, you know, some of his neighbors had faster speeds because of this tower, but he didn't. So again, it's this kind of, you know, depending on where you live, depending on random chance in terms of how these networks are built, it can really affect the type of internet that you get. And that's why, you know, if policymakers give companies too much leeway, it can have the effect of leaving people behind. You know, we should say with all of this, hindsight is 2020, right? These are hard programs to run. And the FCC set up these programs with the best of intentions, trying to help people with limited resources. And they wanted companies to participate. So they didn't want to put incredibly onerous regulatory requirements on them. You know, we're doing all this with the benefit of hindsight. And it's sort of easy for us to say now, right?
What about the companies who are part of the program but then aren't delivering on getting the high-speed internet? Is there any way to hold them accountable?
Well, yeah, you know, they've made promises, and if they don't follow through on those promises, there are consequences for that. You know, they could pay fines. And, you know, by the way, if you talk to these companies, they say they fully intend to follow through and that, you know, what happened in Oklahoma isn't representative of what they want to do going forward. The problem with that is, you know, if a company doesn't follow through initially, the people who live there have to wait for the next government program. And so while the company might face consequences, that doesn't help somebody like John Powell. What he wants is somebody to actually run a fiber cable to his house already, you know?
You know, that's just one area. What are some of the other bottlenecks to getting high-speed internet across the country?
The things that went wrong in this part of Oklahoma are emblematic in a lot of ways of what can go wrong with broadband funding programs generally. And this is an important thing to think about now because the federal government is actually spending more money than it ever has on trying to get everyone in America connected to high-speed internet. You know, President Biden has said that broadband service should be universal, and there was a lot of money in the infrastructure bill passed last year to extend this service. And, you know, if officials aren't careful, they could make these same mistakes.
All right. That's our reporter, Ryan Tracy. Thanks so much for joining us, Ryan.
Thanks, Zoe.
And that's it for today's Tech News Briefing. If you want more tech stories, check out our website, WSJ.com. And if you like our show, please rate and review it. You can do that wherever you get your podcasts. I'm Zoe Thomas for The Wall Street Journal. Thanks for listening.
Tess Vigeland here from the Wall Street Journal's As We Work podcast. This season, we'll take you from that first job all the way to retirement and all the career moments along the way. Listen wherever you get your podcasts.